And now to Alaska, where President Obama is hiking a glacier today. The trek is to draw attention to the visible effects of climate change. Last night, the president spoke at the International Arctic Conference. He said the world is not acting fast enough to stop this crisis.
I've come here today as the leader of the world's largest economy and its second largest emitter to say that the United States recognizes our role in creating this problem, and we embrace our responsibility to help solve it. And I believe we can solve it. That's the good news. Even if we cannot reverse the damage that we've already caused, we have the means, the scientific imagination and technological innovation to avoid irreparable harm.
That's the president speaking last night. Journalist Elizabeth Arnold is covering the president's visit from Anchorage. Elizabeth, today the president is going to talk about the need for the U.S. to send more ice-breaking vessels to the Arctic seas. Currently, the Coast Guard in the U.S. has just 2 working icebreakers in the Arctic. Russia has 40. The president says the U.S. needs to up its numbers of icebreakers. What for?
Well, the reason is so important, and that is with less sea ice, there's just so much more vessel traffic up here. I don't know how many Coast Guard officials have said to me how they don't get any sleep at night. It's become sort of the standard response to questions about safety concerns. And seriously, there are adventure travelers, cargo ships, even a major cruise line is planning to transit the Arctic, and there's not much in the way of search and rescue available. I've been on Russian and U.S. icebreakers out there, Lisa, and the traffic is growing exponentially. And in addition to the icebreakers, the White House is going to announce an initiative to better map the Bering, Chukchi, and Beaufort Seas, and basically that's the Arctic Ocean that borders Alaska, and for an observing system to monitor sea level rise and ice thickness and that kind of thing. And this is all much-needed infrastructure when you consider that right now the only heavy-duty vessel with icebreaking capability is like 1,000 miles north of Barrow right now near the North Pole on a scientific mission, and the nearest deepwater port and major Coast Guard bases hundreds of miles in the other direction. So the administration's recognizing the need up here to do more.
And access to the Arctic is an international issue. The president, I know, spoke last night to the State Department-sponsored International Conference on the Arctic. What did he say?
You know, it was interesting as an Alaskan and as a journalist to listen to the speech. It was this bluebird day outside, and we were in this dimly lit convention hall, and it was so dire, and it painted such a dark picture of living here because it was so focused on the consequences of a warming climate. The tone is clearly urgency, Lisa. The president didn't stray at all in his message that it's almost too late. What's happening here is a harbinger of what the rest of the world can expect. You know, it was sort of like coming to a theater near you if you don't do something and do something quickly, which is a measure of his determination to building momentum for consensus and action at the upcoming climate negotiations in Paris. You know, he said this year in Paris has to be the year the world reaches an agreement to protect the one planet we've got. There was a lot of that kind of rhetoric in the speech. There's such a thing as being too late. The moment is almost upon us. It was pretty negative, actually, but that's the message.
I wonder how much credibility he can speak with, the president, when he admits that the U.S. is partly to blame for the problem of global warming. I mean, he said the U.S. is the second largest greenhouse gas emitter in the world. So when he speaks to world leaders, does he have a lot of credibility?
Well, I think the credibility comes because he's standing there saying, and we are here to do something about it.
Another thing the president's doing on this visit is to do some hiking. He's hiking Exit Glacier. What's the significance of this particular glacier?
Well, he's going to the coast today to Seward. It's a small fishing town, and he's going to take this hike on Exit Glacier. And he urged other world leaders to do the same thing in a speech yesterday. And then he heads out on a boat in Kenai Fjords National Park. So it's a very scenic, glaciated area. It's a big photo op, Lisa. It's basically, I mean, it's going to be gorgeous today. It's going to be a beautiful photo op. But he'll be talking again in dire terms about what's happening and that these places are disappearing and the ice is melting. Tomorrow he goes to Dillingham, where the White House knows it'll be warmly received because it's the home of Bristol Bay, the world's largest wild salmon fishery, and the president recently put it off limits to oil and gas drilling. So he's going to be kind of a hero there. And then he heads north to the true Arctic, to Kotzebue. It's above the 60th parallel, the Arctic Circle. So that's where he becomes the first sitting president to set foot in the Arctic. And he'll hear there from local residents in a listening session at the school. And Kotzebue Kotzebue is mostly Inupiaq Eskimo, and so it's where he'll start hearing from people who, on the one hand, are experiencing firsthand the effects of extreme weather, but on the other, want to share in any revenue that might come out of oil and gas activity offshore in the Arctic.
Elizabeth Arnold, covering the president's visit for us in Anchorage, Alaska. Nice to talk to you.
You too, Lisa.